of God. Our Father is good to us. Amen, amen. If you'd like to, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for just a minute. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and tender mercies. We thank you, Father God, for the things that you have been taking the time to reveal to us. We are grateful. We thank you. Glory to God. We thank you for utterance from heaven. We're so thankful for the things that we have been hearing, for the things you have revealed. But we know, Father God, as we walk in what you reveal, we set ourselves up for you to be able to show us more. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate your kindness. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. Hallelujah. You are a very, very good Father. You love humanity. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're thankful. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Amen, amen, amen. Well, before I get started, I'm going to ask Pastor Levi, if he would, to come up. And he's going to share some things. Last night after the service, I told him that I saw myself do some things, and it had to do with assignments. And he told me, he said, at this time, don't do it. That was last night, but tonight we'll do it. Amen. And so in that, though, but Levi had asked me some things, what the Lord has showed him. So I'm going to ask him if he would come and share that. And then we'll get right off in the message. You can be seated if you'd like to be. And again, thank every one of you for coming, guys. We appreciate it. Amen.
Well, as Dad was ministering last night, there was, as I was sitting here, he mentioned it one time, I believe, and he had said assignment. And when he did, immediately, there were some things that began to develop that I could see in my spirit, man. It wasn't that I saw him like a vision or nothing. I seen these things in my spirit, and what it was it seemed as if there was an angel, and I wouldn't say if it was a scroll or if it was a package or a listing, but it was as if you were in the military and there was orders that was coming down to you. And I could see that there were and I knew by the spirit on the inside of me that there were assignments on this docket. And as they went down, I could see and I could tell that these were assignments, not necessarily who they went to, but I knew they were to be distributed in the body of Christ and in our camp, that there were certain assignments that were to be handed out, things that God was handing off, as if this angel came straight from the throne room of God, and his assignment, the angel's assignment, was to be dispatched to these men and women of God, the ministers and those around them, to ensure that these things that God had on his heart to accomplish at this time, that the assignments would be divvied out to the people that God had chosen for each assignment. And on this, it seemed as if there was brand new assignments that were being dispatched, but then there were also things that had been on God's heart that he had asked people in times past and in certain locations that he had wanted to have done that they had never been accomplished to the way of God's heart. And I was reminded that David, it said that David was a man after God's own heart, meaning that whenever he would do something, he ensured that the way he did it was not of his own manner, but he did it how it was after God's heart. And I knew that there were certain assignments that God had been waiting for people, ministers, men and women of God called in the body of Christ in every position that would do it the way that was on his heart, that they would accomplish. And at this time, God had raised up people in the position that he had placed them, and they would carry out these assignments. So now he could release these things into the body of Christ because he had men and women who would do it the way that it was in his heart. They wouldn't just try to make the assignment happen the way they thought, but their heart was to see it fulfilled the way God had it in his heart. And so now he was able to release those things.
So if you'd like to tell somebody, How many know we've been walking in our assignment? But how many know the assignment can continually increase? Amen. If you have your Bibles there, I'd like for you to open them up, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. And, you know, years and years ago, when Sally and I came back into fellowship with God, we started, of course, Paul and Jan at that time was just brand new, and they were working wide open as fast as they could to get more stations up and everything. And I remember Brother R.W. Shambach. I really, really enjoyed him out of Tyler, Texas. And he was on there a lot. And so I applied to the school to go to his ministry school. And they sent a letter back because they asked on there, you know, what's your life been? Have you been arrested? They just want to know. And I put everything on there best my ability. Well, when I got the letter back, it said, we're sorry, but we just don't think you'd be a good fit. Well, I was a little bit hurt, but how many know that was not where God actually wanted me to go? Amen. And it's interesting that when God, can you pull up 1 Corinthians 12, 18 first? It talks about that the Lord in the body, everyone fits. Amen. But now hath God what? Set the members. How many of them?
Every one of them.
Where?
In the body.
As it's pleased him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not my, I can't say where I fit.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And so, how many know that there are, remember when Peter went to the door and he was all excited, because you remember they thought he was going to get killed. And the Bible says as soon as the angel touched him and the chains fell off of him, let him out of the prison, where did he go?
To his own company.
Thank you. Everybody say own company.
Own company.
How many of you know who was that? That was a group God connected him with.
Amen.
There were other fellowships. Anybody that's asked Jesus Christ into their heart and believe that he is the Son of God are members of the family of God.
Amen.
Some do not believe in infilling of the Holy Ghost. Some don't believe in divine health. Some don't believe in prosperity. Some that we have known before actually will take a vow of poverty, and they think this is pleasing to God. How many of you know we are not critical of any of them? We know where we have been sent and fit.
Amen.
It's very, very important. And so it's God's pleasing or pleasure to set every one of us in the body as it's pleased who?
Him.
Well, in that, we were connected then through to Rhema, through Kenneth E. Hagin's ministry. And, you know, there's different things that will transpire with that. Like Brother Copeland, him and Sister Gloria used to go to all of Brother Hagin's meetings. They was green. And, of course, you know, Brother Jerry Savelle. All of those that are now older all started going to Brother Hagin's ministry, every one of them.
Right.
Well, in that, if God connected us there, probably where will I flow or what is my commission?
Faith
and healing, prosperity. Would you agree with me?
Yes, sir.
So in that, I just figured, well, you know, God, you connected us here. This is probably where we're going to stay put. What you'll see, and we're going to talk about assignments tonight because we ain't got to care.
Amen.
Right? And look at somebody and say, thank God I'm a Mary, not a Martha.
Thank God.
Amen. If you weren't able to be here, watch that one. It'll help you.
Yes,
but so in that, when God gives us assignments, we know we're going to fulfill it by faith and joy by not taking the care of it.
Amen.
When we take the care of it, we think we have to fulfill it.
Yes.
But if it's God's assignment, it's up to him to give us the ability and the equipment and the provision to do it. He
Amen.
Just needs a human on earth that'll execute the plan.
Yes. Amen.
But we're not going to take the care.
Amen.
So in that, what you'll see is, I was sitting there minding my own business, and he said, say all of this before you start the message. And I was like, okay, I'll sure do it. I'll you help me with it, because you're not giving me time to write this all down. And so in that, but it's interesting how, do you remember there were two examples in the old covenant about when you follow somebody, the results you get? The major one is the first one. Who was it? Elijah and
Elisha.
And God sent Elisha, and he went through a field, and there was a young man plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he said, go cast your mantle upon him and invite him into your room.
Right.
It's King. It's first Kings. I didn't understand what a room was. Now, I know some translations will say, invite him into your place. How many of y'all ever studied Elisha's life, and how long did he serve Elijah? 15 years. He washed his feet. He got up. He washed his clothes. He did the cooking. He took care of the animals. He set the tents up if they weren't in a town, and he tore them down. He packed everything. That was his ministry for 15 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir.
But he did it right, and he's finally, as they're getting ready to go, you remember there was a school of the prophets, and all the guys that were at the school of the prophet hollered at Elijah and said, don't you know your master will be took from you this day? He said, yeah, I know it, but really y'all are just studying. You don't qualify to say, hold your peace.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Are you following me? And so in that, they went a little further, and finally Elijah said, won't you wait here? He said, no, sir, my Lord, I've been with you. I'm staying with you.
Yes, sir.
Well, in that, it's interesting that finally Elijah asked him, and he said, ask of me what I shall be giving you before I leave. He said, I want a double portion of the Spirit,
yes,
or the anointing. He said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I go, it'll be granted. They're walking along, a chariot of fire just shoots out of the heavens, goes between of them. Elisha is knocked to the side, and when he finally gets up and he's looking for Elijah, he looks up and he sees Elijah in a chariot.
Yes. Right.
And he screams, alas, my master, alas. And when he did that, you remember Elijah took off his mantle representing the prophet's office and throwed it back to earth. Before he got to it, Elisha went and tore his off because he had served faithfully for 15 years. And he said, I'm fixing to get off into a new assignment.
Amen. Amen.
Then he got a helper, and his name was Gehazi.
Yes, sir.
But his future didn't turn out like Elisha's. You will notice, watch people that God hooks to a local church and says, this is your home. If they get offended, or if they get the attitude like Gehazi, that they are equal to the one they are serving,
come on.
They will always be deceived and tripped up.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, we've got our own ministry. We know how to do this better. It just won't last. But when God promotes, it's never an offense on leaving.
Right.
Amen.
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 It's the right hand of fellowship.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Amen.
So when people leave the wrong way, don't judge them. Don't be critical. Because how many of you know things are judged by fruit?
Yes.
Right. Amen.
And if there's still fruit in their life and there's still great things happening. Now you, many times, one of the things the Lord told us, he said, if you've ever noticed something momentum, he's given it to me several times. Like a car, if it's sitting on the top of a hill and you kick it in neutral, as it starts down the hill, you know, or even one that was running and it goes down the valley and starts up the hill, even though it runs out of gas through momentum, it'll still make progression for a little while.
Yeah.
But
amen.
Pretty soon it'll run out of the thing that it was fueled by.
That's right. Yeah.
And so in these things, I want you to remember on the assignments. When God puts you with a group of people, as God would lead the leadership, which was our Brother Hagin, and of course now we're connected with Brother Keith and Sister Phyllis Moore.
Yeah.
But we were with Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy for years till he moved to heaven. And so in that, when you are connected, stay with your connection and Amen. Watch the assignments of God increase.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And so in these things, we're going to talk. And look at somebody, smile real big, says, and I ain't taking the care of it. I'm going to keep my faith, joy, and peace. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And we can do this one in the King James, and then we can do it in the Amplified. It says in the King James, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their what?
Habitation.
In the Amplified, it says, and he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of times, the fixed boundaries of their habitations, their settlements, their lands, and their abodes. God said, for me, I would be born and establish or live in Oklahoma and be a member or a citizen of the United States.
Amen.
That's naturally. But you have to also understand, he also wrote this to the Jews, and he says, I said who gets the land.
Yes.
I say what they group, they're connected with.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how many of y'all like being Pentecostals?
Amen.
How many of y'all like being a prosperous Pentecostal?
Amen.
How many of y'all like walking in divine health?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So how many know we minister to other people about these things, but how many know I ain't leaving the camp, I'm up.
Amen.
I'm running with my own company. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, if you would, let's get right back after. Let's go back, if you would, to Romans chapter 14, please. Romans chapter 14. And we'll I think we already prayed, didn't we, at the beginning? Okay, amen. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. King James reads this way. For the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink, but righteousness, peace,
joy
in the Holy Ghost. Tell somebody, joy is major in the kingdom of God.
Joy is major in the kingdom of God.
Now in that, one of the things that Pastor Nancy was praying about when Kenneth E. Hagin was coming to their church, she was praying that there be a good manifestation of the power of God. And the Lord said to her, he said, that's really not, how many know we pray a lot of, send the power right now. How many know, remember in Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them,
yes, sir.
But only one guy got healed because there was a wrong response.
Yes, sir.
And so the Lord told her, he said, well, he said, really, it's not so much that I'm withholding nothing. He said, you need to teach the people how to yield and respond properly.
Amen.
Amen. So everybody say, yield.
Yield.
And respond.
And respond.
Well, then we need to respond properly, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, in that, if you would, look at Romans 14, 17, 18 in the NR or ERV. ERV. Easy read version. It says here in the easy read. Got it up. In God's kingdom, what we eat and drink is not important. Here's what is important. What is it? What else? Peace. Now, whoever serves Christ, what?
By living this way.
Is. And they will be
accepted by others.
Now the King James says they will be approved by others.
Yes, sir.
That approve, if you study it, it means to take certain types of metal and to cast it into the fire and see if it's actually proved good enough to be made coins. People watch how you respond to trouble.
Yes.
People watch and see how you do with tests.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so in this, whoever serves Christ by living this way is pleasing God, and they will be accepted by others. Look at somebody and say, I'm interested in pleasing God. All right, now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, we'll do the King James first. Now, we've talked about, and we said we need to have a proper response to test,
yes,
to trouble,
yes,
what else? Hardship,
yes,
but also the gifts of the Spirit, and what else? The movings of God and the leadings of God, right? So we know we need to properly respond to tests, to trials, but we also need to respond properly to God's leadings and God's movings,
yes,
right? And so in this, what we're going to look at here for just a little bit, and tonight will be about assignments, because that's what the Lord was talking to me at the end last night about. He says here, Paul writing, he said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of what?
Measure.
Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even our life. Everybody say, not ignorant.
Not ignorant.
Why did Paul write the Corinthian church and explain to them why he was under so much test and trial? So often people think that if there is a lot of trouble, not necessarily a whole life, but seasonal, they think something must be wrong.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
And it's, how many know you can be in the, if being in trouble is out of the will of God, Jesus and Paul never did get into the will of God.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere they went, there was a riot, somebody wanting to kill them. Are you with me? Amen. Not just every day, but there was a constant trouble. Well, in that, how many know they're trying to silence the message through the messenger? And so Paul writes him and he says, guys, I don't want you to be ignorant about why we are so pressed and why there's so much trouble. But then he goes on to explain, because he's the one that wrote, Paul's the one that wrote about all of this stuff. I say in Philippians 4:4, stay full of joy. And again, I say, stay full of joy.
Amen.
James wrote, count it all joy when you fall into divers trouble. Yeah. Peter wrote, be carefree, because your Father cares for you.
Yes.
Amen. Now, in these things, what happens, what we've learned in 1 Corinthians 16:9, I'll explain it real quick and you can keep up, right?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, there is an open door, and at the door are many adversaries.
Yes, sir.
We were taught in the assemblies way back, nothing against them, it's just what we were taught, that we would pray concerning leadership of God. God, if you want me to do that, open a door. God, if you don't, close the door. In reference to Revelation. But in Revelation, it says, Jesus will open doors that no man can shut and open doors that no man can close.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And then you remember in Matthew 25:21, Jesus said, well done, thou good and
faithful
servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you rulers over much.
Yes.
How do you and I get God to open doors of increase, assignments, and opportunities? By being faithful to what he's already told us to do. Open doors are never for leadings. Paul wrote in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the only ones that can do it are the children of God.
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm a child of God. So the open and closed doors are never for leadings. They are doors God opens because you have been found faithful. Then Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:9, every time you've been found faithful, Jesus opens another door, but at the door are many adversaries. There is a press. There is pressure. There is stuff at that door to try to keep you from stepping through the door. But tell somebody, I'm going through the opportunity. These are assignments. That's why many will back up because it gets so intense. And they substitute peace for no trouble. If the devil can put pressure on you, he can take it off of you. So if you get to feeling like, I don't know if I'm going to go through that door, if you just think that and you back up, he will release pressure, and people all of a sudden don't feel the pressure that they were, and they think, whew, it's peaceful here. And they never move forward with increase. Look at somebody say, I ain't scared of a little pressure. Amen. Glory to God. We're learning about it, right? We are learning how to laugh about it, how to sing about it, how to dance about it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look at somebody say, God will open doors for me to go through. What is that song? Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Step on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power than you've ever known before. In 1996, that became my wife and I's song. Because I told her, I said, I'm leaving the ministry. I'm moving to Bakersfield, California, and I'm going to run Yalla Iron. I'm done.
Yeah. Amen.
It was up to here. And I didn't know that the pressure would get this intense. I thought, dear Lord, we're faith people. We ain't supposed to have trouble. We're faith people. People ought to like us. Everybody. Everybody ought to be happy.
Right.
No, let me tell you, they ain't. Amen. And so, thank God for my wife. She said, you can move to California if you want to, but I ain't raising my kids out there. Thank God for good wives. Amen. And as you take it, we didn't quit the ministry. Amen. We're still in ministry. Okay. But in that, it's in this assignments, in this increase, there is something arrayed against you, and it is so designed to keep you where you are right now. Look at two or three folk and tell them, God's got bigger plans for me than this. God's got bigger plans for me than this. Everybody say many adversaries. That means it comes from every direction for a little while. Yeah, I mean, it's like hell on earth, but we're told we ought to have days of heaven on earth. Amen. So, everybody say, I'm going through the doors. That God opens. All right, now, so Paul wrote and said over there in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he said, for we would not, brother, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. And how many know Paul also wrote that we just read in 1 Corinthians 16:9? So he knew who opened the door, but he knew who was there at the door. Have you ever noticed right when you get close to your next assignment, your next promotion, usually what happens? It, oh, hell. Stuff goes crazy. Stuff goes awry. And what happens is it is actually a distraction to try to get people to back off, because once you get through the door, he's still over there, but how many know it ain't near as intense once you finally get through the door?
Yeah. Amen.
Tell somebody, I ain't going back.
I ain't going back.
I'm going forward.
I'm going forward.
Now, the word in 2 Corinthians 1:8 says we were pressed out of what?
Measure.
Go to Ephesians 4:7. I know you know these things, but we're going to look at them. Ephesians 4:7, we'll do King James, and then we'll do the Passion. In Ephesians 4:7, King James, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to what?
The measure of Christ."
According to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Amen.
We are given grace.
Yes.
Okay? Passion. And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace. What? Everybody say size.
Size.
In these assignments, and we'll show you tonight, we're never to compare our size of the gift with anybody else.
Amen.
How many know, wherever we've been asked by God to serve the family of God, how many of you know that's our size?
Yes. Amen.
Wherever it might be. But the thing of it is, the devil wants you to still be in kindergarten chairs with you being 18 years old.
Yeah.
And he, because every time you get ready to get promoted, this little trickery of the pressure and stuff, and that's why people never ever grow on past this one certain area.
Amen.
But look at somebody say, thank God I ain't ignorant.
Thank God.
Of the devil's devices. So he says he has generously given each one of us a supernatural grace according to what?
The size of the gift of Christ.
The size of the gift of Christ. Now drop down if you would to verse 16. Same chapter, same book. Ephesians 4:16. We'll do this in the King James. He says in the King James, "For we dare not make..." Oh, I'm in the wrong one. "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied." Please underline, "which every joint supplied." Every joint supplieth. Not, "I'd like to have a joint." No, you are a joint. Are you with me? Every joint what? Supply. That's talking about every individual in the body of Christ. Look at somebody and say, "I am a joint. And I have a supply." Now it's interesting that when people are members of local church and they don't feel like they're doing much, how many know they still have a supply to that body whether or not they're doing anything?
That's right.
They have a God-given supply, or Paul should not have wrote that by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He said every joint supplieth, not just a few, not just the leadership.
Amen.
Every joint.
Yes.
According to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh the increase of the body, which to unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen.
Now, go if you would please to 2 Corinthians 10, and let's look at 12 through 14. We'll do this one in the King James. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 14. Paul says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves," that whole bunch ain't wise. Right? Then verse 13, "But we will not boast of the things without our
measure,
but according to the
measure
of
to
us, a measure
unto you."
14. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our
measure,
as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." Did Paul go beyond his measure?
No.
Did he stay with him what God gave him?
Yes, sir.
This is very, very crucial. In faith and believing, If you ever disturb your joy and your peace, you've gone beyond your measure.
Yes.
It says that in Romans 15, 13. Yes. Now, in this, what we want to understand is we won't do stuff because there is a need.
Amen.
Thank you for three amens. We won't do stuff because there's a need.
Amen.
How many know, now in the family of God, in a local church, it's like a natural family. God compared it, the Jesus and the bride, the body, as a husband and wife.
Yes.
And he talks about God's family.
Amen.
We know in the natural family that if you belong to that family, if you see the dishes need to be done, you do it. If you see the trash needs to be took out, you help. Are you following?
Amen.
But in the things that I'm referring to, can you go back to verse 13 or maybe even verse 12? He says, we dare not make ourselves of the number, comparing ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves. Who are they? They're not wise. Verse 13. But we will not boast of things without what?
Our measure.
But we will, according to the measure or the rule or the length that God says.
Amen.
It's interesting, any time when someone has fulfilled what God has asked them to do, he will always increase the assignment. But too often people, because they have become successful, think it's time for them to be increased. That's the group that compare themselves with themselves.
Amen.
Elijah never moved. I'm sorry, Elisha never moved until God said.
Yes.
Amen.
In these assignments, because we're learning carefree, we're learning about increase. We're learning about how to respond properly. How many of you know? I believe that there are, God's talking to folk tonight about increasing assignments.
Amen.
Assignments. Now, go if you would please to Acts chapter 13 verse 1. Acts chapter 13 verse 1, please. And we'll do Acts 13, 1 and 2 in the King James. He makes this statement. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucas of Cyrene, Mania, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and who else?
Saul.
So Saul is either a prophet. We know from his ministry, what is he? He is a prophet teacher. The others were either a prophet or a teacher, or possibly a prophet and teacher, but Saul was, correct?
Yes.
So is Paul in the ministry?
Yes.
What's he doing? Where's he operating?
Prophet.
Prophet, that's the highest office. He's operating as a prophet and a teacher.
Yes.
Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said what? And if you study, he's been in the ministry somewhere around 11, 12 years already. And God says, separate them for the what? Work I have called them.
Amen.
But they've been ministering for 12 years approximately.
Amen.
Everybody say increase. Can we do 13:2 in the Passion, please? While they were worshiping as priests before the Lord in prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I have called Barnabas and Saul to do an important work for me. Now release them to go and what? Last night at the end of the service, the Lord was talking to me about it. And then Levi, he was asking me some questions. How many of y'all enjoyed what he felt like the Lord showed him?
Amen.
there are some things going to be released.
Yeah. Amen.
Now it's God's place to say who, how much, what calling. How many know? That's all in God's place.
Yes.
God's hand. But here in 13:2, in the easy read version, he brings it out a little bit different. It says, these men were all serving the Lord and fasting when the Holy Spirit said to them, appoint Barnabas and Saul to do what? Then what?
They are the ones I have chosen to do it.
Why?
They are the ones.
Why did God choose them? We really don't know. Why did God choose you?
Amen.
We don't really know. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's God's place.
Yes, sir.
I'm not to critique God's choices.
Amen.
How many of y'all, usually, we're too... Are you busy enough just taking care of yourself and following the plan of God to worry about what everybody else is doing?
Yes.
Amen. You know. Well, in that, it says they are the ones God says I have chosen to do it. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 52 in the Message. Matthew 13:52 in the Message. King James reads pretty good, but the Message is very interesting. You ready?
Yes.
He said, then you see how every student, what? God's kingdom is like the owner of a general store who can put his hands on anything you need, old or new. Exactly. Look at somebody, say, well trained.
Well trained.
Tell somebody, skillful.
Skillful.
Handling the word of God.
Yeah.
Handling the things of God.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Well trained and what? Skillful.
Amen.
In these books of Kenneth E. Hagin, Sr., if you have this one, Understanding the Anointing, pages 140 and 141, I wanted to, felt like the Lord said to read this to you. At the bottom of page 140, it says, in September of 1970, while, this is Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, and Sister Retha. In September 1970, while my wife and I were in New York State, the Lord instructed me to return to Tulsa and hold a seminar. Our offices then were in Brother T.L. Osborne's old building on North Utica. We had a little chapel in there that would seat 300 people, so we would hold a seminar now and then. He said to me what to teach on in every service. And when you come to Wednesday night, he said, speak on special ministries and special anointings. And he said, relate your experience of what I told you 20 years ago when I appeared to you, then laid the hands and then lay hands on the people. Now listen to this. This is what Jesus told him. And when you lay hands on them, that stronger anointing that has come on you four times in the last 20 years will come to abide.
Yes, yeah.
And this will now be a new beginning for you. And at this time, he's been in the ministry for 30 years.
Amen.
30 years. Years ago, my wife and I, we were still in Silsbee, Texas. And we were having a meeting, special meeting. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was a special meeting. And there were other churches present, members of other churches present. And at the back of the building, it looked like that mansion off of Gone with the Wind. The staircase came and came down, and angels in it. It wasn't blue, but they weren't white, but they were glistening. And they came down that side and this side, and they were singing hallelujah. There was a heavenly choir. And people from other denominations stood up and started crying and saying, "We hear the angels singing. Hallelujah." And it was a magnificent service. And so the power of God got to just so strong, and people got to running to the front, and about 10, 12 feet from me, I couldn't stand. And there were Brother J.C. and I don't remember who else. They were on each side of me and maybe holding me because I couldn't walk, couldn't stand. And as people would run down the front about 10, 12 foot away, it looked like somebody hit them and they'd just fall and they'd just pile up. And then they'd drag me over there and then people got to running. And the Lord said, if you'll follow me and you'll continue to do before your earthly ministry's over, you'll see the manifestation of this.
Amen.
These are assignments.
Yes.
He will let you. David wrote and said, "Oh, taste and see."
Amen.
There'll be times when you will minister or something will happen and it will mark you.
Yes.
Then you wonder, how come we can't get that to manifest again? Very often, it was a taste.
Yes.
And he's letting you taste, if you continue on, what is in your future.
Amen.
But this comes with faithfulness.
Amen.
So, when he told Brother Hagin that, I thought that's what that was about. Because he went back to Tulsa. He was teaching. And this was in 1970. And he said, we didn't have catchers. And he said, people was bouncing off the floor like, you know, balls. Poom, poom. And he's like, Lord. And he said, after that, we had to get catchers, you know. But he said, it was the most powerful thing. And it stayed. He had only experienced it four times over 20 years. That's once every 5 years.
Yes, sir.
But in these services,
amen,
we are learning not to take a care.
Yes,
because by taking a care, it can shut down the 30, the 60, and the 100 fold. Remember Mark 4? We read it. And so everybody say, I ain't taking a care.
I ain't taking a care.
Not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world.
I live carefree. If something goes wrong, I'm going to rejoice. Not over the wrongness, but of us getting it fixed through God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand up, please. Father, to the best of our ability, the way you gave it to us, we've done our best to get it delivered exactly the way you said. We thank you, Father God, for this time together. They that live this way shall be pleasing unto the Father. That's what you said in your word through the Apostle Paul. Father, we thank you. More or a greater assignment, I understand greater the responsibility, but it does not include greater the care. It means carefree.
Yes.
Carefree.
Yes.
Whatever the assignment you give these precious people, some are ministers full time, some have the ministry of helps, but we're all members of the body of Christ and everybody has assignment. So we thank you, Father God, as we've set our heart to rejoice, as we've set our heart to count it all joy when we fall off into divers tests and trials. We're not thanking you for the trouble, but in the midst of it, we're going to rejoice. We know in 2 Chronicles that there were several armies that had set themselves against the people of God. And the young man stood up in the midst of them, and the anointing was on him. He prophesied and said, stand ye still. see the salvation of God. Now, I didn't mean they didn't have to do nothing, but they didn't have to revert back to the arm of the flesh. They appointed the ones with special garments, which is the garment of praise, and put the singers out front. And everybody else got behind the singers and began to sing and worship God. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Then the Lord set ambushments. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank You. In these new assignments does not mean the course of the ministry changes. It means, like with Brother Hagin, more things are being added. We yield ourselves. We respond properly. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Tonight, if you want hands laid upon you concerning assignments,